You're listening to the Build Assets Online Podcast. Learn how you can build a diverse and sustainable income online from two brothers who actually do it. Now, here are your hosts, Mike and Joe.
Breaking news coming at you now from Mike's, from our parents' basement. Two bald guys figure out the secret to unlimited Shopify sales with high-ticket dropshipping. Mike, we've got this amazing report today. Why don't you tell us what's going on? Move the mic a little closer. Wait, I had you muted. Sorry, you're good now. Go.
I'm here. Hello. Can you guys hear me?
Yeah, you sound good.
How you doing, Joe? Glad to be on today. So what's going on? What are we going to talk about?
Well, apparently we figured out the secret to unlimited Shopify sales with high-ticket dropshipping while both simultaneously living in our parents' basement. Pretty amazing, actually, if you think about it. You know, we've just been sitting down here for all these years, you know, with our finger up our, you know what. And now we finally figured it out. And so today we're going to tell the people how to scale to six figures per month. And how to do it easily, because really, getting six figures per month with high-ticket dropshipping is kind of like...
Whoa.
It's really not that difficult once you know what you're doing.
Right? Yeah, I agree. But back in the day, I used to hate when people would say this word.
Six scale. Figures?
You just got to scale. Oh, yeah. I'm scaling my dropshipping store. Because, you know, for me, first of all, we got 12 people on the... 13 people here. Why is no one chatting? We need to see some chats going on. Danielle Bilal, yes, you can ask questions, of course. We'll get to the questions after we finish talking our you know what. But yeah, Joe, I would always hate when people would talk about scaling because we had a hard enough time just like making sales. And it always seemed to be this magical thing. Like, oh, you know, you're in the scaling phase, especially with, like, Facebook ads and, like, that sort of thing. That's when it's the most bullshit.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, like, you're running the Facebook ads. All right, you're seeing some conversions. Oh, now you got to scale, and you increase the budget. You know, you do whatever, and boom, you're, you know, what do they say on the Warrior Forum? Push button cash machine.
Yeah, scale is definitely one of those annoying buzzwords, kind of like entrepreneur. I don't know which one I hate worse.
Well, usually if you're an entrepreneur, you're working on scaling. So I'd say I'm sure it's worse.
Yeah.
There'd be no scaling without the entrepreneur. But yeah, so really when you have a – sorry, I'm crying. I love scaling so much. When you have a dropshipping store, there's really only, say, four – factors when it comes to increasing revenue, right? You have the order value. So say taking your average order, if you're doing 20,000 a month, let's define that as the arbitrary point in which now you can move into scale phase. You're at 20,000 a month. Maybe your average order value is 1,000. Well, if you increase that average order value to 2,000, you've doubled your revenue. You've scaled 100%.
Yeah.
So that's number one. Average order value. Number two would be your conversion rate, right? So a number of people are coming to your store, they're adding to cart, smaller percentage, reaching checkout, a smaller percentage, and then finishing the checkout, an even smaller percentage. So if we can, say, get the amount of people that check out from 1% to 2%, once again, you've doubled your – you've gone from 20,000 to 40,000. You've scaled 100%. The third one would be traffic. So say you're getting 10,000 visitors a month. If you can get to 20,000 visitors a month, theoretically, you should be able to scale from 20,000 a month to 40,000 a month in revenue. And so those are the main three: average order value, conversion rate, and traffic. The fourth one would be like returning customer rate. But for dropshipping, that's not really relevant in most cases. If you're at maybe 300,000 a month, that can become something more to look at. But we'll focus on these main three, so we can go one by one.
Well, let's start first. I feel like the thing we've mainly focused on in the past was traffic, because with these dropshipping stores, the way we teach you to set them up, and I mean, just the way I think Shopify is nowadays, if you choose a half decent theme and do some pretty basic things, your conversion rate is not going to be the easy. It's going to be difficult to double your conversion rate unless you've done something really, really wrong. So in the past, we focused on traffic. Have we focused on average order value, aka AOV, since we're using fancy words here?
Certainly, that could be done.
But I'm saying, have we done it? Have we done a lot of it? Because I feel like we have. The way we've done it is, I feel like we haven't really done the traditional thing, which we might be doing in the coming soon. Is we haven't really focused on upselling and cross selling and the typical things you could do to increase your average order value. I feel like what we've done.
Well, I would say there's other ways to do it.
Well, let me say what I think we've done. You could say if that's correct, because who's calling me? I feel like what we've done. How dare someone call me during the stream? I feel like what we've done is focus on selling more expensive products and adding a few, you know, things you can buy with it here and there. A few extra add-ons or, you know, accessories, you could say. But beyond that, we haven't really done much. I mean, the main part being focusing on.
I disagree.
All right, what have we done?
Well, we'll get to it.
All right, let's start. Well, conversion rate, I mean, besides for having a trustworthy store, there's more you could do in terms of like having a free gift or, you know, just doing something where if you're dealing with a MAP supplier, you're not breaking MAP, but you're, like I said, giving the customer something else for free, maybe something that you can produce for cheap or free that adds value to the order. So they would buy from you versus your competition, even if it's the same price. So that can increase conversion rate.
Yeah. I would say that's probably the least important one out of the three, which may be a bit controversial, but yeah, I think like as long as you're doing something like that to stand out in some way in the marketplace, and you're not doing like having a like I was coaching a student the other day, and their add to cart button was white. And so if you're the person listening to this, you know who you are, and I don't mean to put you on blast, but like that's a bad move.
Well, to be clear, that's something that we clearly in the course when I go over making your store, one of the things I clearly talk about, because it's one of the most, you know, probably the most obvious thing, is creating a contrast between your add to cart and everything else. I mean, that's kind of one of the most basic things you could do.
Right. And really the issue is with a lot of dropshippers, like doing modifications to try and alter conversion rate is not really something that's very measurable. Because for one, if you're at that point where it's like you're desperate to try and figure out how to increase your revenue, you don't have that much traffic coming in to like even get good data on it. And there's just so many factors when it comes to selling products online, when it comes to e-commerce and dropshipping, because your conversion rate can go up during a week because like someone at you know, someone else's e-commerce store, they quit their job and they were, you know, Sally was running the ads and now the ads are out of whack for a week, right? So you're showing up higher and you're getting more conversions like that. So I think there's a lot that can muddy the waters when it comes to that. But yeah, as long as you're doing the basics of, you know, I'm sure you go over a lot of this in the course, like the add to cart button and making sure your site isn't, you know, garbage and standing out in some way, whether that's through like a coupon or a gift or what have you, then you should be in the clear as far as having like a semi okay conversion rate. Yeah. And Joe, I think historically, like our conversion rates are pretty bad versus like the industry.
Yeah,
that's because we don't care.
Yeah, I think it's kind of funny. We did like a, we're going to be upgrading probably another one of our stores to Shopify Plus, and we did the call with the woman, and you know, these people are just, they're just like salespeople, I guess. They're not like, they probably don't have in-depth knowledge of e-commerce. Their job is just to kind of like convert you to Shopify Plus. But she was like, yeah, your conversion rate is like 0.4%. Like, how do we get that up? Like, she was basically saying, like, this is an area to improve. And it's like, oh, okay, you're going to get us more relevant traffic. You know, you're going to get us like the exact searches we want, people clicking on them. So like you said, there's a lot of mud in those waters to improve conversion rate.
Yeah. And I think some of that mud will be covered in the other two levers that we'll talk about here. But yeah, I think conversion rate is just the most easy thing to overcome in terms of like, it's not a huge deal. And I don't think it's like a barrier to scaling as a whole. But so we'll move on. What are the other ones we had?
Yeah. Another thing I want to talk about with conversion rate is as you show up in this, again, this is another one of those factors where you can't necessarily quantify it. This is why when we talk about conversion rate, we have a baseline of best practices. Like Mike said, don't make your add to cart button white. Make sure your store looks trustworthy. You know, do a couple things and you have a baseline, and that's going to get you whatever conversion rate. It's going to depend on the query. It's going to depend on your industry. It's going to depend on the time of year. But then there's all sorts of other factors, which again, you cannot quantify. Like once you start doing SEO, your store is just going to show up in more and more places when people search things. And there is some sort of psychological effect to that. Whereas people are going to see your name more, they're more likely to hit your store. Maybe they browse five other stores and then they've clicked on your store a few times for informational content. Then they might, oh, well, yeah, I was looking at that store. You know, let me type that one in, and then you get a direct traffic conversion. So there's a lot under the hood, to use another cliche, that is going on that we can't possibly measure.
Yeah, and so I think that's a good segue into the traffic portion of the problem. And yeah. So you brought up, yeah, you start doing SEO, or you start, say, like, we call it, like, search engine real estate, right? Because you have the search ads, you have text ads, you have shopping ads, and then you have organic results. And all these are prevalent in any typical Google search. So that can alter your conversion rate. But for example, like when we were talking with that Shopify woman, she was like, yeah, your conversion rate is below industry standards. But little does she know that compared to like last year, our organic traffic is through the roof. We probably get more organic traffic than paid traffic at this point on that one particular store. So we're not paying for that. So do I care that it's affecting my conversion rate? No, it's just a number. Conversion rate is just a number. But what I care about is I'm taking up more space in the search engines. More people are finding us. They're getting just knocked over my globe. They're getting put into our pixel. And yeah, maybe they'll come convert, you know, in a couple months or whatever. But it's much easier to say go from 10,000 visitors a month to 20,000 visitors a month versus taking your conversion rate from 0.5% to 1% or 1% to 2%.
Yeah, exactly.
Because all those things should have the same effect on your business. But yeah, the increasing your traffic is much easier, and I think it's a lot more measurable, and there's a lot more data behind it. Even if taking your traffic from 10,000 to 20,000. You wind up with maybe a lower conversion rate because your traffic is less targeted. Then it's still, who cares? Number one, if it's SEO, if it's organic traffic, or two, you know, you're doing paid ads, you're looking at what's coming in. Maybe your clicks are cheaper because it's a more generic search term. Or well, you know,
I want to bring something up, Mike, because we're talking about increasing our traffic, and when it comes to increasing your conversion rate, I would make the argument that it's much easier to increase your conversion rate the more traffic you have. Because say you have 10,000 visitors a month versus 100,000 visitors a month, you're going to get the data is going to be a lot more powerful with those 100,000 visitors. You make a singular change on your site, you're going to be able to see that change reflected over 100,000 visitors in a month versus 10,000. So to me,
what you're saying is conversion rate optimization becomes easier as your traffic increases.
That's exactly what I'm saying.
I agree. But back in the day, Joe, we had a store. It was one of our smaller stores, and we sold it. But I remember at one point, like, our conversion rate on that store was somewhere between 2 and 5%. One time I looked at it, maybe it was over like a week or like a month or something. Yeah. But that was because it was run at such a small scale that like all of our traffic, I mean, we were bidding so cheap, not really spending a month on, not really spending a lot of month on ads, that like all of our traffic was super relevant. And so, yeah, we converted a lot, just, you know, on a numbers basis. But at the end of the day, like the revenue was still not that high versus a store that gets, you know, a lot of traffic and, you know, isn't converting as well. Like the revenue on the higher traffic store just blows out of the water because there's only so much you could really optimize. You could spend because you need time and you need traffic to get good data, right? So like you can spend 3 months playing around with split testing and doing all this stuff, and you may find that the changes you made didn't make a difference. And so you kind of wasted 3 months of your time versus putting that energy into just doing SEO or doing something to get your paid ads, you know, correct. You feel me?
Yeah. Yeah, definitely increasing your traffic is going to have the much better outcome.
We're talking about conversion rates so much, I'm starting to sneeze.
You're allergic to to buzzwords.
Yeah. I'm allergic to conversion rate optimization.
I feel like we're kind of all over the place here. I feel like at the same time
we are because these things are interconnected. These two in particular, I feel like. Yeah. But
so people don't realize it's all connected, man.
Yeah, man. But so the point that we're coming to is that just focusing on the traffic portion kind of takes care of the conversion rate issues that you may have, because number one, either your conversion rate stays the same or dips, but your traffic increases so much that it compensates for it. Or number two, you have a lot of traffic and therefore you could actually get meaningful results from like trying to do conversion optimization stuff.
Yeah. So let's talk about average order value, Mike, because you beg to differ. I feel that this is something that we haven't done too much of, but besides for getting more suppliers selling more expensive products, in your opinion, we've done some work in this area, but I'm curious to know what it is.
Well, I think you keep glossing over it. And it's the fact that you're able to sculpt the store however you want. So if you look at what your average order value is now, you, number one, can say, okay, are there other suppliers I can get that sell more expensive things that I could add to my store? Or you look at your ad spend and you say, where is my money going to, and how much do these products cost? And so there's always ways to sculpt your traffic and sculpt your product selection in a way that you're increasing your average order value.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of what I was saying, but well, I guess I had it in my head.
Saying you're overlooking it as it's like, but it's something you could actively work on.
Yeah,
maybe you have less appreciation for it because you don't run the ads. But this is like a big thing that I go over with a lot of students and just when I'm looking at stuff.
Let me ask you this. We have some ad accounts now that are, you know, 4 or 5 years old at this point. Are you still doing that?
Sure.
Okay. I'm just wondering if it ever.
Maybe I'm not. Well, I mean, so like there's the revenue portion of it, the average order value, but there's also like the margin, the profit.
Yeah.
But everything I'm doing is focused towards optimizing towards like better margins and like the products I want to sell.
Right.
You know, so we're talking about like how does one scale from say 20,000 to 40,000? And I think for a lot of people, if they actually looked at their ad account, they're not focusing enough on what products are taking up the majority of their ad spend and how much those products cost versus like products they can find by acquiring a new supplier or products they already have that they could be selling. They could be pushing harder.
Yeah. So we have a few chats I want to just get to real quick, because Chris C says, I tried to sign up for the course, but said enrollment was closed. I don't think that's the case. If you go to buildassetsonline.com, you can go to enroll in Elite Fleet at the top, and you can click any of those links to enroll in any of those packages. Now, if you did have a technical issue, you can also go to buildassetsonline.com and go to the bottom and go to contact us. And then it says how you can contact us, and then we can fix you up from there. Miss Jess says, are you accepting students right now? Yes, we are, but we're going to be probably, I say we're probably going to be closing it pretty soon for a little bit, and we are. I don't know exactly when that is. It's just when we get around to it. We're working on a few other things right now. But yes, we are accepting students right now, but we are going to close it, kind of revamp some things, probably increase the price, change how it's structured. But that's coming maybe in a few weeks, maybe. So I don't know when it's coming. We're working on some other things right now. But if you were interested in joining, now would be the time, basically.
Yeah, I think that's what you're getting at. Any updates and whatever would always be included in anything we do. But yeah, so we're already getting in the chats, Joe. We got some decent viewership for this one. I told you people want to see this stuff.
Yeah, I think
people want to know how to scale.
I think the key to getting to people to click our YouTube videos is you have to have a buzzword. Well, here, I've broken it down. You got to have a buzzword like scale. You got to have a modifier like easily. You have to have a monetary value, six figures, and you have to have high ticket drop shipping. Without those elements, no one's going to click it. So if I make a video where I want to discuss the meaning of life, no one's going to care.
Yeah, that's certainly true. Let's see. Did you get through all the questions?
No.
All right, well, we can go through the questions, and then I got some more to say.
Yeah.
So let's go through the questions and see where that takes us, and then go from there. So where were we at?
Amped Up Machines.
Okay, Amped Up Machines said, hey, what is a typical profit margin with high ticket? Anywhere from 10 to 50%, which can, you know, that's a pretty big variation, but it just depends on the supplier itself. Like, to stay on topic with what we're talking about, like, Joe, we had that store that was a smaller store. It had a really good conversion rate, but it had a good conversion rate because, and I'm going to muddy the waters even more, Joe, the lower the average order value, the better the conversion rate is typically.
Yeah. We were selling those like something that was like $2.99, right? $1.99.
Exactly. Exactly. And so our margins around that were like, at the end, they changed hands. So like the margins got worse. You know, maybe we make like 20% at best, but we had products that were like $2,500 or maybe even more, maybe like $5,000. And we had a clean 50% margin on that, Joe, with free shipping.
I know, those were glorious days.
So the question becomes, do I care about the fact that these $200 things convert better, or would I rather sell the product that may convert not as well, but if I sell one, then I make, you know, $1,200 to $2,500 off the top. So in other words, what I'm saying is we sell one of these products, we make $1,200 versus selling the smaller product and making say $50. Right. So quick math. I can't do it in my head right now because I'm trying to be on camera, but that's like close to like 30 times. It's 30 times more money.
50 versus 1200. If it was 60,
50 times 10 would be 500.
Yeah. I got to hold on. I got
times 20 would be 1,000. 30 times would be 1,500. So it's somewhere around there. So you got to think about, like, is it worth it to have a better conversion rate when you could have a 30 times worse conversion rate on the bigger product and theoretically, like, have it even out like that? Does that make sense?
Makes so, total sense. I think the number is 24, by the way. Because 1,200 divided by 50 is 24.
You know, back of the napkin mathematics.
Yeah, that's another cliche. Let's see how many we could
back
throw.
Back of the napkin?
Yeah.
I like back of the napkin stuff. In any event. Yeah, so like it's much easier to just focus on getting traffic to the higher margin product and, you know, not caring that like the conversion rate isn't going to be as good. 30 times worse conversion rate is quite drastic. People talk about like conversion rate optimization. Usually they're talking about like, you know, like if you go on Norton Shopping Guarantee, it's like a trust badge website, like, oh, our customers experience a 20% increase in conversion rate. Well, that means taking your conversion rate from say like 1% to 1.2%. It's actually not that much.
Yeah, definitely. And especially, well, it could, depending on how you look at it, when it comes to high ticket stuff, it could mean like an extra order, which could make you a lot of money, or it could mean an extra order that makes you like $50, like you said. So yeah, I guess it just depends what happens.
Yeah. The point I'm getting at is like what things take priority.
Yeah.
And so the priority should be getting the traffic to the higher margin items. Not even necessarily the higher average order value, but the higher margin, what you make the most off of. Because we would sell products that are $3,000, but we only make 10% on them, which is $300, which is not that great. Or we've sold products that, you know, sell for $1,000, make $400.
Yeah.
You're right. Like, I'd rather sell the $1,000.
Yeah. Prioritizing is oddly, I feel like prioritizing is probably the number one business skill you need to have if you want to make more money, because you really have to assess.
Oh yeah. Everything is, it's all, that's why like the whole mindset thing is like kind of cliche, but at the same time, it's true, because the way that we go about the world is all about our mind and how we prioritize things and like our mental models of reality.
Yeah. And I feel like just half of what I do, like half of what we do is talking about prioritizing. And what can we do every day, even if we can only do a little bit every day, that's going to get us the best results.
Yeah. And like, if you're going to become, you know, a multimillionaire, that's, or you're even a billionaire, it's not going to be achieved through like some sort of physical labor the majority of the time, because it's such a high scale to reach. It's all about like, what is your mentality on the situation and how do you do things in the most effective way? And usually you make other people do those things. But you have to be the one to decide like what's most important, and you just have to view things correctly.
Yeah, you have to decide what has to get done, and if you're using your resources adequately.
Yeah, so I think you know, when we update the course, Joe, we should dedicate more time to like scaling things, because you know originally when we made it, like the majority of our audience was people starting from zero. And now we have a significantly bigger portion of people that have sales. And, you know, now we teach them how to get more sales. Because this is something we struggled with for a while. Like, no one's there telling us what specific things you need to focus on within such a niche business. You know, you could, like, read books on it or do whatever. But the point is that, like, it's like, how do you distill that and actually apply it to high ticket dropshipping in a way that works?
Yeah, and we've done many things actually back in the day. I'm just thinking on some of the things we've done. So when we were in the midst of all this, trying to figure out this high ticket dropshipping thing, and don't get me wrong, we still are figuring more out and improving and stuff like that. But before we had our formula really crafted, I remember we were throwing so many things at the wall, trying to prioritize or trying to figure out what we should prioritize. And so I'm just going to go through a list of some things I remember. I remember you hired a guy from Upwork or Fiverr to do like Pinterest for us. And he was just pinning our products on our second store. And then he would like send us the report. Like, look, sir, like your traffic or your pins are getting viewed like 2 million times. Well, great. Who cares?
Yeah.
So yeah, it was stuff like that. I remember before we had the sales completely locked down, we were trying to just like, how did we get that consistency? We were doing other business models, like that stupid eBay arbitrage. We were just posting. We had the guy doing Pinterest for our stores. We had another guy posting things for arbitrage on eBay, drop shipping from Walmart. This is like way back in the day when we were trying to really nail stuff. So I just remember we had so many of those little things going on. I had my coloring book business. I had a whole separate website. I was, you know, trying to do stuff for that. We were just searching for that, like, I don't know, what was the best thing we could do to get to where we wanted to go.
Yeah, we made like a BuzzFeed type article for one of our products.
Yeah.
That we were gonna like do with Facebook ads or something.
Yeah, we made this looking back on it, so I think we should describe that in a little bit more detail.
Go ahead.
So like a BuzzFeed type article, how would you best describe it? It was just like six.
BuzzFeed was always like with the lists.
Yeah. It was like a listicle where it was like six hidden benefits of blah, 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 blah. Now, of course, and our plan was to make this post, and we did. And our plan was to drive Facebook traffic to it and then, I guess, retarget them and get them to buy our products. Looking back on it, it was pretty ridiculous compared to – because something like that is so much of a lower priority versus – taking up more search engine real estate via what we've discussed today, whether that be more suppliers, whether it be more stores, whether it be getting your average order value up, doing something like that's totally not related to directly impacting the bottom line is so ridiculous. Well, in retrospect,
I think it was just more about how, like, how naive we were about how people bought products, you know? Like, we thought if we just drove traffic, like relevant traffic, to this one particular thing, it was going to somehow convince people to buy like this $1,200 product.
Yeah. And and I remember one of the things we did was we posted, I think we might've made a couple of these articles, and we posted one on Reddit, and it, I don't know, somehow it was just getting thousands of views in like one night. I was like, oh my God, like, but no sales. So back to conversion rate. The quality of the traffic is so important.
Yeah. And so like when we talk about increasing traffic as one of the methods, we're talking specifically just like about, you know, we talk a lot about Google ads and SEO, which is just Google traffic essentially. So it's like, how do you increase that? And so SEO is kind of, is a long game where it takes a little bit to pay off, but then, you know, it's huge and it's very cost effective, but like,
I gotta pee. Keep going.
Okay. But there's always ways within Google Ads to improve your traffic or get more traffic. I did an office hours within the Elite Fleet a couple months ago about text ads. And someone asked, like, you know, what percentage of your traffic should be text ads? And really the answer is that as you build out your account, if the amount of products you have are staying fixed, then the percentage of your traffic that can come from text ads should be closer and closer to 100%. And so what I mean by that is when you have shopping ads, Google decides what keywords you're showing up for based on your product. They look at your product, you got the SKU in there, you got the barcode, whatever, it reads the title, it reads the description, it says, okay, here is the big pool of keywords this product will show up for. And so it's not as easy to pinpoint and, you know, and scale shopping ads as easy as it is to take text ads and scale those, because you can look at what's converting in your shopping ads and then you can bring that directly to text ads. So theoretically, as you get more and more sales for more and more different keywords, you can have all those be unique text ads, and then you could scale those to as far as they go. So that way, for every single time someone searches one of those words, you're showing up at the top. You can't really do that as easily in shopping ads. And so you can do this essentially indefinitely. Not to say you should never have shopping ads, that they can't be scaled, but the bigger your account grows, the more percentage of spend text ads become. How's it going, Joe?
Good. I feel better.
That was quick.
Yeah.
But that was just off one question. Okay. Ariel Ben Solomon said, what do you see as the minimum Google searches per month to go into a product? Some put it at 10K, But what about lower if there's not so much competition? And yes, Ben, well, Ariel, yeah. So maybe you're thinking about things from like a low ticket perspective. We really do not recommend looking at search tools for high ticket dropshipping until you are making a good amount of money. Because number one, it's going to prevent you from going into something, say that is low competition. We get sales for searches all the time that have no volume. You go on a search tool, it's not going to tell you the keyword has volume, but people search it and you can show up for it and you can make sales. So that's the best thing about shopping ads is like people think about, okay, search tools just basically take like Google's keyword planner and just estimate it. But there's millions and millions and millions of search terms being searched every day that Google has not seen before. And so your keyword planner can never account for that. You can't really do keyword research to account for it because you also have like, I don't know, Joe, give me a product like chair.
Well,
like this is, hear me out. So like, okay,
I'm actually going to pull up something. This is like from Doug Connington's website. He has like a graph, which I think illustrates it well.
Let me know when you pull that up because I can't see. But say you have a chair, right? You may look at a brand and, you know, you may see Ariel's Chairs is a brand. Oh, do I go after that brand? Do I go after that supplier? You put their searches in Google, you put that keyword into like a keyword planner, into a search tool. It may tell you it has like 200 a month or something low. Meanwhile, the chair itself could be something unique where it's like, you know, wood bottom chair is a generic search and that has search volume. And so you may be selling the best priced wood bottom chair that swivels and you're going to get conversions off of that. So there's like there's no real good way to do it. The only time that search volume would ever come into play is if I'm going to make a text ad and I just want to see, like, I want to have an idea of if a word has volume or not.
Yeah, search volume is one of those things that I feel it's a relative measurement rather than like an absolute measurement. Because first of all, Google manipulates it in a way because they want you to spend more money on their ads. So they purposely exclude a lot of long tail keywords, first of all. Yeah. Second of all, what was I saying? Yeah, so Ariel asked the question, no, I mean high ticket in terms of aiding choosing a niche. I don't think of it choosing a niche in terms of search volume at all. We've never looked at a product. Say we've never looked at like, okay, so let's talk about this this long tail keyword chart from Niche Site Project, Doug Cunnington. He gives the single word keyword shoes. I would never for a high volume searched phrase, commonly searched phrase is shoes. But we would never go and look at the keyword volume for shoes and determine, oh, this is a great area to go into.
Yeah. Irrelevant.
We just wouldn't do that. And here's why, because as you get into like, he gives some other examples. So some short 2-3 word keywords are running shoes. Even that I would consider like a short tail keyword. We wouldn't even look at that to decide to get into something or not. And the reason for that is because when we look at this graph further, I'm going to open it up here. The line on the bottom for the number of keywords, as the search volume goes down, the number of keywords is essentially infinite. So on the bottom of this graph, it's basically showing you that there's unlimited long tail keywords. There's unlimited keywords saying like running shoes for men with flat feet. And that being said, that's why you're not going to get data like that from a keyword tool. But there is basically stuff out like that out there for anything. And if a supplier is manufacturing something or importing it or whatever, there's a market to be had there. That should tell you enough. You don't need to look at a keyword tool.
If a niche exists, that means that people are able to manufacture the product and sell it.
Yeah. There's no one's going to manufacture something that doesn't have any sort of demand.
Yeah. They would be out of business in a month, you know? So, yeah. So long story short, it's not something you need to worry about. And yeah, I mean, you know, going back to the three pronged formula we were talking about, like, so you may have a shoe store, maybe drop shipping shoes. I don't know if I recommend that. Never seen anyone do that. But, you know, you may start out like, do you want to be showing up for the word shoes out of the gate? No, because you have no idea what someone wants. You need to look at what you have, what you're selling. Maybe you're selling, you know, Brooks running shoes or ASICS running shoes. And so, like, if someone searches Brooks running shoes, you want to show up for that because you know you're serving them directly what they want. And so that's kind of the key. And then as you get that working and you kind of, you know, take that to like a kind of the furthest conclusion you can in terms of scaling it, then maybe you could start looking at like running shoes and getting more traffic for that, because really everyone needs to start out doing the long tail stuff. And we've emphasized this forever when it comes to SEO, when it comes to paid traffic, whatever. Long tails, there's going to be more of them. It's going to be less competition. And it's going to be easier for a newbie because, like, you can serve someone exactly what they want. If I'm going to start going after the keyword running shoes or shoes, your concept and your strategy behind business needs to be at a much, much higher level to execute on taking a customer just looking for shoes or just looking for running shoes and then working them down the funnel to the point that they buy your shoes from your website. Because you start trying to pay for that traffic, you start trying to go after ranking for those terms organically, you're entering the lion's den, Joe.
Yeah, you got to be like Payless or something.
Yeah.
I'm typing in shoes. Okay. I just typed in shoes to see like what comes up. We got Nordstrom. We got Allbirds. We got L.L. Bean, Under Armour, Zappos. Maybe I would do this.
Didn't Amazon buy Zappos?
I believe so, yeah. But yeah, I mean, you got to be a store that at least has a decent selection. Like, you have to have a big budget and something for everyone if you're going off after these short tail keywords. I would not recommend it.
Yeah. Cool. Martin George, no relation to George or Martin, says is working with non-map suppliers too complicated to compete in, or does it come down to Google Ads? I think this is a great question, and it's very on topic with today's video, Joe, because the reason that we don't like map suppliers is
that we do like map suppliers. That is,
we don't like non-map suppliers. Mm-hmm. The reason we don't like non-map suppliers is because it adds another variable to your conversion rate. If you're selling a product and at any point someone can come and undercut you, what is that going to do to your conversion rate? It's going to go in the turlet, as they say. Or so, like, obviously price is like the biggest factor in your conversion rate. If you had an exclusive deal with a supplier and you could sell a product for, you know, 20% less than everyone else, I don't care about your Norton shopping guarantee. I don't care about your cart button. Not all that goes out the window, because you're playing on the biggest factor of all. You're giving them something with the same thing that they want from other people, but at a better price. So when you're selling a non-map supplier, anybody can undercut you, and it's going to screw up your advertising. It's going to screw up your conversion rate. You're going to say, what's wrong? Why am I not making any sales? Because you have to be monitoring it every day, and then all of a sudden you have no margin, and it just doesn't become worth it. And so with that being said, we do sometimes sell non-map suppliers. But it's the type of thing you need to decide how much you want to make. You need to decide what you're going to sell it for, and then you just leave it at that. You can run ads. You got to be conservative, and then it is what it is. So you can't scale non-map suppliers.
Yeah. Well, there you have it.
Is that an hour?
50 minutes.
That blew by. Ariel said, your email got me. I usually ignore them and watch replay later. What part of the email? I think my email was pretty funny today. I don't know if you looked at it, Joe.
No, I didn't. Let me look at it. look at it right now.
Miss Jess said the formula, LOL. LOL indeed. Tiago Ruivo said, if we start with a shop that sells more than one type of product, let's say we sell both greenhouses and lawnmowers and generators, don't we lose credibility as a shop?
Well, we just talked about
lose credibility.
When I searched shoes, we were seeing all the stores that came up. One of the stores that came up was Nordstrom's. Like, Nordstrom doesn't sell only shoes. They sell basically every sort of apparel item that you could think of. And now I think that there is something that's too extreme. Like, you don't want to be a straight up like Wayfair or like an Amazon. That's way too nonspecific. But greenhouses and lawnmowers and generators, I don't think that's too far unrelated at all.
Yeah, I think the point we're getting at is that the variety of your store doesn't necessarily impact the store's credibility.
Right.
What can impact credibility is like if you're selling lawnmowers and you're selling shoes and you're selling like muffins. You know, it's like what is what is this? You know, so that's really it. But those things are all that you described, Tiago, are all within the same sphere of like home and garden. So
yeah, and there's plenty more things in that sphere, definitely, that could all go on the same store with those things.
Yeah, you're like a think of yourself like a boutique.
Yeah.
There you have it. I think that was pretty solid, Joe.
Yeah. Yeah. All right.
Anything else you got to say?
No. Let's call it.
All right. We're just a couple talking heads here. So, yeah, thank you guys for joining in. You can see our free web class on how we build Shopify stores, how we run a portfolio of websites worth over 7 figures, and how you can do the same. It's buildassetsonline.com/playbook. Is that it, Joe?
That's right. Yep, buildassetsonline.com.
I do it every time. buildassetsonline.com/playbook. Watch it, enjoy it, love it, and as always, take it easy.
Thanks for listening to the Build Assets Online podcast. If you've enjoyed the show, don't forget, subscribe, share, and leave us a rating on whatever platform you might be listening from. And if you're ready to learn how to build your own online business portfolio, start now by visiting buildassetsonline.com/playbook. We'll see you in the next episode.